Windows down, music up. Get ready to hit the road in a new Chevy SUV or truck. Chevy is a name you know and trust. It's Chevy as American as apple pie and baseball. Check out the full line of Chevy vehicles at your local Chevy dealer. Chevy, drive Chicago.
It's the Hollywood Argyle's Alley Oop. And on just about this day, 54 years ago, the country western and prairie farmer station, WLS, turned into a rock and roll station, and that was the first top 40 record they played. And on the night of May 2nd, 1960, at 9 p.m., this guy came on the radio, and every kid in the Midwest and beyond was instantly hooked. Say hi to Dick Biondi.
Hi there.
Hi, Bob. Hi. I can't believe you guys remembered this.
You know what? Every year, and by the way, are we in the old top 40 echo chamber? We've got a weird line here. You know what? Let me tell this story really briefly, and then we'll get Dick on a better line. Every year, I call Dick, and I just wish him a happy anniversary, and I try to call him, since he's on late at night and it bleeds over into the next day, I either call on May 1st or the actual date, May 2nd, and wish him a happy anniversary. And we decided that today, why not just do it
on
WGN and wish him a happy anniversary, and let's get his thoughts on what he was thinking when he signed on, young kid in his 20s from Buffalo, New York, and here he is on this big Midwest ABC station. What were you feeling like, Dick?
I can't, you know, it's after all these years, I still can't describe it. I think the first time I drove into Chicago, which was a couple of weeks before we started, I was so impressed and so excited, and I said, I finally made it to the big time. And the thing that's really made us so happy, especially me, is that the day before, we had a meeting with the program director, Sam Holman. And we had a nice meeting, and he said, okay, guys, here's the story. We're going to play rock and roll. I want you to go into the studio, have fun, and don't lose the license.
That's good advice. Dick, what did you hear immediate response from your listeners?
I had so much. We had so many things that happened. It was, thinking back now, I could spend like 6 hours telling you about the exciting things, like the beep line, where people actually met between the busy signal when they were trying to call in for a request. I have people today who come to my appearances. They're married. They got kids, and they say we met on the beep line. The exciting, probably the most exciting thing. Bob, do I have a few seconds to do this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
The 1961-62, many of you probably remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I've told this story, but it's so important. I was coming into work. It was a beautiful summer night and probably the most beautiful sunset I ever saw. And the first thing I got on the air that night, I said, if you haven't seen the sunset, look out the window right now and look at that sunset. If that doesn't prove that God's going to make everything okay, nothing will. And I was meaning about the Cuban Missile Crisis and hoping we weren't going to go into World War III. A week after that, I got a letter from Grand Rapids, Michigan, from a woman who said, I want to thank you. I was listening to you last week when you talked about the sunset. My husband had just been arrested a few days before and was facing 40 years in jail for arson. And I was sitting there with my three kids, and I finally decided I couldn't go with it. So I got his gun, and I was going to shoot the three kids and myself and just be over with it. And she said, I heard you just as I picked up the gun. And I said, well, let me go look. She went to the window and looked, and she said, well, maybe so. She put the gun down, called her pastor of her church, who came running over, and they took the gun, of course. And then 2 weeks after that happened, a man walked into the Grand Rapids Police Department and said, you got the wrong man in prison for that fire. I'm the guy that started it. Now, I don't know how many guys in radio can say they saved five lives, but if you don't think that was a thrill, nothing is.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
It's the power of radio, the power of the human voice, and speaks to the personal aspects of this great medium, doesn't it?
Yes, and Bob and Marianne, especially Marianne, when I came back to Chicago in 1967 talking about the power of radio and the human voice, I was on the all-night show over at Marina City. And after the second week, every single night for almost 2 months, a woman would call up and say, please tell me what time it is. And I would say, it's 1 o'clock every night for all that time. And finally, I just had to ask her, I said, please tell me, why do you call me every night for the same reason, the same time? She said, I just wanted to hear a man tell me good night before I go to sleep.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Dick, of course, spent some time over there at WCFL after WLS, and he moved around the country a little bit and spent time in Los Angeles, where he emceed the Hollywood Bowl show with the Beatles. And really, and I've said this many times, he needs to write a book. And the only reason there aren't a lot of movies about Biondi and statues right now is because he's still in the game every night there on LSFM, and thank God he's still with us.
Hey, Dick, do you still get calls like that? Do you still...
To be very honest, and before I go into that, I just want to say thanks, Marianne, and to you, Bob, for being two of the most wonderful people in this entire business. Yes, I do get calls. I have... I've had people calling me up who just needed to talk. One particular woman in particular has been calling me. She was forced out of her apartment. She's living in her car, and she just wants to talk to somebody. And something else that I'm sure both of you know and everybody else, being in radio, I can be the most intimate of any way, anything at all, because there's nothing more intimate than my voice in your head.
It's so true, and you're known everywhere, everywhere around the country, and just the other day, Cousin Brucey was asking about you.
That's right, he was. That reminds me, tell your Elvis story, because they're celebrating like 60 years since Elvis' very first record, and calling that, and pretty much was, the birth of rock and roll. So what better time than to tell your story? Because you were at they called them record hops then, with Elvis, weren't you?
Yeah. What happened was, I was working in Youngstown, and Elvis, this was his first time ever coming north, and he was playing the Cleveland Arena. So I went to the arena and went backstage, and I met Elvis, and I was wearing a white shirt, and I said, Elvis, if you don't mind, would you please autograph the back of my shirt? And he said, why? And I said, well, I'm going to have a record hop next Friday, and I'm going to jump off the stage, and whoever gets it will have your autograph. And he looked at me, and he laughed, and he said, you're crazy. He said, I'll sign it twice. He did. The next week, all the guys moved back, and all the girls came up front of the stage. I jumped off the stage, and not one girl got an autograph of Elvis. They ripped that shirt off my back into shreds. And an hour later, I was in the emergency room at the hospital with my back bleeding from all the fingernails that were tore into it.
You're kidding.
And did you talk to Elvis after that happened?
Yeah, he was so excited when he heard about it. And one other thing, and Marianne Assett thinks still to this day. Back in 1959, I went to Memphis taking a little girl who won a contest to visit Graceland. And we got there, and of course Elvis was in the Army, but we went to Graceland. And it was fall, and I looked out at the front lawn, and I had an idea. And I got three laundry bags full of leaves from Elvis's lawn. And I took them back to Buffalo and spent about 4 weeks every night ironing each leaf so it could fit in an envelope that kids were sending me for a leaf from Elvis's lawn. And this is no
amazing
joke. About 6 months ago, I got a letter from a lady who found out where I was here and said she still has the leaf and was wondering if I remembered her.
Isn't that something? Now, everybody remembers Biondi. And before we let you go, Dick, it's been 54 years now. Once and for all, we should clear up the joke you never told, the rumor that that's what got you fired here. Never happened, did it?
No, it was, as usual, I was complaining about too many commercials on my show. And, you know, in radio, that's not exactly the best thing to do.
Because you're happy. You should be happy when there are a lot of commercials.
But the sales manager was waiting for me. And when I walked in to tape my Sunday night show, I was in the lobby, and he started yelling at me, cursing at me. I said to myself, just go. And I ran past him, and I just went into the studio to start recording. He ran into the control room and started it again. And I said, please, leave me alone. He said, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to come in there and whoop you. And he started to come in, and I had been sitting there, and I had a letter opener in my hand. And the next thing I knew, I was sitting on the floor with two engineers sitting on me. They bust in front of me because he was going to come in and punch me or whatever. And they finally got him out of the way, and Gene Taylor said, Dick, go home.
Yeah, he was the boss.
He was the boss. And I said, okay, I will. And in my head, I said, that's it, I'm fired. And I never went back. There was never any joke, but it's interesting to note that the joke that everybody was talking about was told by Bob Hope on the night before on his program.
Oh, that's where it started.
Yeah.
And the joke Hope told, that was actually on television or?
Radio.
It was on radio.
Yeah, I believe, yeah.
Okay, there you go. It's Dick Biondi. He's a Chicago treasure. Everything changes around here, even Wrigley Field, but not Biondi. And we're happy about that.
And Bob, just remember, I got to tell you my latest one. This September, the Cubs and the White Sox are going to be in the World Series.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Well, after 54 years, it's understandable you're delirious, Dick.
Hey. Listen, thanks to everybody that's been so nice, and God bless all of everybody, especially you, Bob. You're the best friend any guy in this business ever had.
Listen to me. We talk about the karma train and what goes around comes around, and from day one, you were nice to anybody and everybody, whether they called or visited you or saw you at an appearance, and it's coming back around to you all the time now, and I couldn't be happier. All the best, Dick. Talk to
you
soon.
Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.